On the terrible day of the bombing, I was working in Kingsdown. On this particular day, we'd got onto the site and we needed quite a bit of material. So I said to my partner, "I think, if you like, we'll everybody get into the van and we'll go down to Deal, get a quick breakfast in the local Lobster Pot cafe, and then get our materials and get back to the job." Well, we arrived at the Lobster Pot approximately between 8:30 and 9 o'clock. We'd heard this terrible bang, but wasn't to know quite exactly whereabouts it actually was. As we was entering the Lobster Pot cafe, one of my friends, he's a gas board engineer, come running out and said, "Quick, there's a bomb or gas explosion gone on at the Marine Barracks." Well, with that, we straight back into the van and proceeded to the barracks, where there was utter chaos, really, really utter chaos everywhere. I jumped out of my vehicle and ran over to the gate to see if there was any help that we could possibly do. We're telling the people on the gate that I've got my own JCB less than half a mile from the barracks. They said, "Yes, we need any heavy plant." We had an escort from my building site down to the barracks, where I sat. I went into the barracks. I was the only JCB in there. We had 7 cranes from TML that turned up, but they had no banksmen.
Can you explain what a banksman is for the public?
A banksman is somebody who has to control a crane. He has to be there to guide the crane to where he's to drop his line and where he's to, where he's to actually operate. Well, the chief of police and the chief fire brigade officer came over to me and they said to me, "What did I know about being a banksman?" Well, I said, "What there is to know." I said, I've had quite a lot of experience working with machines and with heavy plant. Well, they asked, they said that we wanted a volunteer to work with the cranes. They then went to say that we had 7 cranes had turned up, but they had no banksmen. So I said, "Right, looks like you've got the man for the job." Well, with that, we went actually onto the site where the explosion had gone off, which was very, 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 absolutely terrible, absolutely devastating. It was called an implosion instead of an explosion, which means that everything, when it blew up, it had all gone in on itself. Well, there was lots of big bits of concrete with reinforcing. So I said to the fire chief, "For me to operate, you're going to have to get some of your people out of the area because it's too dangerous for me to guide the crane in to lift some of the concrete out." The fire chief said to me, "How long will it take to move certain bits of this reinforced concrete?" I said, 10 minutes. He said, "I'll give you 8. I had a sledgehammer, which I had to smash through bits of concrete to try and get my chains actually onto the reinforcing. We got most of the big bits out of the way, and then they become a piece of concrete which was actually tethered into the side of the building. So I got my chains in place and we lifted it up. I felt in my heart that it was definitely somebody underneath there. Well, when we lifted the concrete up, it was still tied into the building. So the forensic quickly got underneath to uncover the head and shoulders of the person who was actually underneath. I had a message from the crane driver to go over to him to have a quick meeting, where he said to me, "Peter, get them people out from underneath that concrete because it's going to belly in, which means everything is going to fold up. There's so much weight there." Well, with that, I went over to the friends and said, "Please get out from underneath there because we don't want any more people either killed or injured." The forensic said to me, please don't damage the fella any more than what he is. Yeah, unfortunately, he is dead, but we don't want him damaged anymore." I got the crane to lower the concrete down very, very carefully, so I knew that he was the body was still well clear of the underside. Well, I had a chat with the fire brigade to say that we need somebody to cut through the reinforcing. I then had to readjust my chains to make it safe. We then lifted the big piece of concrete back up. There was 2 guys had a thing called a thermoclance, a special cutter that will actually cut through reinforcing. One of these guys had to hold the canister that held the gas, and the other chap had the lance. Well, he squeezed in between the concrete and in between the building to try and cut through the bars. I felt with my own experience that the moment they cut through the bars, the concrete was going to drift straight against the side of the existing building. Well, I grabbed hold of this guy round his waist, so I knew that the moment they cut through, that I'd at least have a chance to pull him clear. So we was actually standing on some hardcore from the brick rubble from the building. It was very, very precarious. Well, I had my hand around the corner of the building that was still remaining, where the windows were blown out, and I had to move some of the glass away from the edge of the frame, which I was actually hanging onto. The guy cut through the reinforcing, and as he cut through, so the concrete went against the building with me. I actually pulled him out in a split second, where he turned around and said, "Thanks, mate," and felt my heart going to my knees. Unfortunately, the guy who died was actually sitting on the toilet, and he was actually slurred over one way. I think, in a sense, part of the hardcore and brick rubble had actually come in and actually protected his body. When they actually uncovered his head and shoulders, the only damage that was actually done to him was a tiny little bit of blood from the side of his nose and his mouth. My nephew was actually in the band, and I turned around and said to the guys, to my working colleagues, is that my nephew's in there. There's a good chance that he's actually in that area, and I only hope that he's not one of the people who've actually either been injured or been killed.
And how quickly did you know he was all right?
While we was actually on the site of, I kept asking different Marines or different rescuers, do they know Steve Biddle? Can anybody find out, if he's okay? Well, then I got a message come over from, I think it was from one of the commanding officers, to say, oh, by the way, your nephew is okay. I felt for all of them people there. I felt that they was all like, the local Marines are like your family. A lot of the Marines are married to a lot of our local girls, and a lot of, it goes back from generation to generation. It was very, very sad to hear that this sort of thing have actually happened. Deal is a very, very close community, at least with the Marines. I found that there's not many families in the town that haven't got Marines in the family, and I think I like to think that when you hear of anything happening where you feel that people need help, then I feel that you should automatically be there. I suppose at that day, whether something inside said to me, "You've got a job to do today, whether you like it or not," and I think fortunately they picked on the right person for the job.
And sounds very much like it. And how long were you there?
I was there till at least, I think it was about 4:30 before I actually left the site. On several occasions, the fire brigade said to me, "Look, you've done your best. Why don't you call it a day?" And I turned around and said to them, "When I know that everybody is accounted for, then I'll go."